forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Work's Due.
Hello, and welcome to Work's Due. It's December 13th, 2011, and this is episode number 27. I'm Kate Gase-Walton. I'm the editor of Work's Due, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. Today, we'll go straight to my interview with Karen Jacobson, also known as the GPS Girl. I'm talking today to Karen Jacobson, who millions of us know as the Australian Karen who lives in our GPS machines and tells us where to go. And Karen, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
It's my pleasure.
I feel like I've spoken to you quite a lot, but this is the first time I feel like you're really listening to me. You know?
You may have spoken to me, but were you yelling?
Sometimes there were some words involved. Let us just say that. But actually, my first question is, when you use a GPS, do you use your own voice to tell you where to go?
I do. If I'm in a car, I mean, I live in Manhattan, so I don't own a car or keep a car here in the city. But when I'm traveling somewhere and I rent a car, if the GPS and it has my voice, I do listen to my own voice. But I consider it a little bit of market research, I have to say.
Right, right. And do you get into arguments with yourself? Is there swearing involved?
No, I do find it really interesting hearing how it gets put together and... Yeah, you know, I just...
Learn from it.
I do, and it's, oh my goodness, it's just a miracle. I think the GPS is a miracle to not have to look at a map. It's just, I mean, really, hasn't it changed our lives?
It is. I don't know what we did without it. Yeah, it is amazing. So I wanted to kind of go back in time and just learn a little bit about not only how you got the Garmin opportunity, but how you got into voiceover work more generally.
Ah, well, that's going way back. I had got into jingles, singing jingles. I'm a singer and songwriter by trade. And back in Brisbane in Australia, in the late 80s, I got into singing jingles. And I just thought I was in heaven, that I could go into a studio and sing and be paid for it. It was just the best fun for me. And then after I moved to Sydney, I had an opportunity to do a voiceover for something, and I thought, well, this is fine, this is great, I don't even have to sing, I just have to speak. And somebody actually took me under their wing and said, look, if you're serious about this, why don't I help you do a demo, and I'll introduce you to this fantastic agent, and they're always looking for really good people. And you know, it just happened that I had a natural ability for it. It was that simple. And the person from the big agency came and heard me in the studio, and they signed me on. Like, it was just meant to be. It was that natural. And I feel so fortunate, because it's something that comes very easily to me. You know, you hear about these voiceover courses you can do and how to learn how to do that. And I really learned on the job, and it was meant to be. What can I say?
Right. And what qualities does a voice have to have to sort of lend itself to voiceovers? Has anyone ever been able to break that down for you, what they hear in your voice that works so well?
Apparently, I have this natural quality when I'm being recorded that I sound like I'm being conversational and very natural and not trying to do something special or trying to sound a certain way. And I think it's my background as a singer that makes voiceover work such a natural fit for me. I think that the way I will approach a script is in quite a musical way. So I'll really vary the tone of my speaking voice, but that's based on my musical background, if that can translate.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other things that prepared me for voiceover is being a voracious reader. And from a really young age, I loved to read, and I would read endlessly, and my parents say I would just talk and talk and talk and nonstop. So, you know, when I was little, I just loved to read, and I've always loved to read. And I think being able to read a script and comprehend it very quickly and then speak that script pretty much right away is a skill that comes from having read so much and just being able to have a mind that quickly computes what I'm reading.
Right. So for your GPS work, I'm just curious as to the, you know, the logistics of how that works. What did you actually record? It must have been enormous volumes of information.
It really was. It was like recording a phone book worth of script. They had me record almost 50 hours in the studio, and it was a combination of words, letters, numbers, sentences, but what they were really after was capturing every combination of syllables possible so they could chop it up and create a text-to-speech system that really captures, it encapsulates everything you could imagine.
So when I hear you say recalculating, I always imagine a little edge in your voice. Did you intend that or not?
You know, and that if your choice of words is spot on. You imagine an edge, and there is no edge. And I've had this a lot where people will say, "You get upset with me," but it's really interesting how much we put onto our reaction. And we project that onto the voice. And if you are feeling really calm and you hear the word recalculating, it doesn't sound annoyed at all.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling upset or irritated or annoyed at yourself because you've missed a turn, you might feel like it sounds like the voice is irritated, but it's a complete projection because I was instructed to sound calm and consistent at all times, and I know that I do, and when, you know, so it's a great experiment.
It is.
To just, you know, take a wrong turn on purpose when you're feeling calm and you've got plenty of time to hear the word and go, oh, actually, really, that's not upset at all.
So tell me, what are you doing now? I know that singing is a big part of your life. Tell me what you're doing on that front.
Wow. Well, I just released a children's album. I have 6 albums of my own songs that I have released over the years, and this new one is called Fun, 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 Fun with Super K, and it's an album of high energy pop songs with positive lyrics for kids, and from, you know, 3-year-olds to 9-year-olds. So it's like a little dance party in an album, and I recorded it quite a long time ago, and there's been a lot of dancing with children's friends over the years who just really love this music, and it's real feel good music. So that's just been released on iTunes. So musically, that's the latest release. And what I'm also doing is, well, I just wrote a book, which I have also just released, and it's called The GPS Girls Roadmap for Your Future, and it's a journal-style book. So I love hearing about what you are up to, because I'm really passionate about people having the opportunity to find what they would love to do with their lives, and this book is all about that. It's about being in the driver's seat of life, learning to listen to your inner GPS, and then there are lots of lists to write and sentences to finish to really create a roadmap for your dream future. Even if you're not quite sure what that's going to be, there are some really fun exercises to take steps in that direction.
Interesting. Well, I will definitely check that out. And thank you so much, Karen. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you, and I appreciate your taking the time.
Of course. And you have reached your destination.
Thank you very much for that.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks very much to my guest, Karen Jacobson. Thanks also to everyone who's contributed an essay to Works Do. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@worksdo.com, by posting a comment on the Works Do website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.